Some topics to talk about, so I'm scratching the surface of one. The topic I want to talk about, because this is my first VOD of the year. The Chinuch VODs don't count. That's just the Chinuch VODs are really just matzav to chill, have some food, and we throw in some Chinuch, you know, stuff. It's not. That's not real. But I thought I would talk about the concept of Das Torah. I was reading this Maisa about Rav Dovah Feinstein, Zatzal, and it's a good story to open up with. They have this article book about this. One story like really captured the idea. And it's because I spent some time, because in the end of the day, you know, I don't know how long everyone's planning to be in yeshiva, whether you're going into chinuch or not, but it's possible to go into chinuch and not have the Das Torah also. So I think everyone needs to understand this concept of Das Torah. What is Das Torah? And what does it mean to follow Das Torah? How does one develop Das Torah? And so you got to hear this Maisa. It really shook me. So somebody needed some help on a computer, and he asked Rav Dovah Feinstein whether he can ask someone to do this on his computer for him. So Rav Dovah Feinstein said, if the person has a filter, you could ask him. Okay? So I thought that was like, okay, push up shot. Anybody want to say what you think the shot is? Why is it that if he has a filter?
Obviously, he wouldn't do anything.
Huh?
Obviously, if he has a filter, then
he has a filter, he's not going to do anything with it. So you read on in the Maisa, Rav Dovah Feinstein held, if he has a filter, you can't ask him. And if he doesn't have a filter, you could ask him. What's the shot? Because if he has a filter, so then this is a person who's very machbid on what he sees on the computer. And by going on to the computer, you're possibly going to initial him, because even with a filter, it's not 100%. So since he's someone who's being mocked on what he sees, you have no right to ask him to do that for you. But someone who doesn't have a filter, so he's not living on that level, so then, okay, you may as well ask him to do a yuchesed and do something on your computer. It's the opposite of what we thought. And this captures what Das Torah is. There are some times on things that we think it's mamish one way, and it's ibcha mistabra. It's mamish just the opposite. I think that every single blotchier that I was in, the first day of the sugya, so Rosh Yeshiva started learning whether it was a Mishnah or a Gemara or a Rashi, the first thing he learned, within the first 5 minutes, every single time, everyone in the shir learned one way and the reshiva learned the other way. It was already a big fight in the sugya within the first 2 minutes. And I don't think the reshiva was trying to be, controversial. It's not a bad tactic anyway to say something controversial, because it gets everyone's blood going. But the reshiva had tremendous, tremendous, tremendous iyun. And we have to know that even how we see lives is different. Had a maisa once. I've never told the maisa, but so there was a matzav going on in Eretz Yisrael with bombers, and people were killed and injured. And the word was going around in America late Friday afternoon that everyone's trying to be Mekabel Shabbos a few minutes early. Okay, Segula, Mekabel Shabbos. Now, subsequently to this story, I have seen that, you know, Shabbos is brought down in certain places. Segula is a Segula, and the lot of Segulas. In the Rav Dovah Feinstein book, someone said if you go to the mikveh every Friday, it's a Segula to remember your Gemara. To remember what you learned. Shabdom Feinstein was walking in, he stopped. He says, I also have a different segula for knowing what you, remembering what you learned. It's called Chazara. So it's just interesting. That's segula. So but how do you implement it? You need Das Torah. So what happened? That happened to be that year I was the Yeshiva's secretary. So I was getting phone calls off the hook from guys in Yeshiva. Should we mekabel Shabbos early? Just if I pause right there, the story, like, you know, okay, you hear a rumor that, you know, they said b'shem Rav Shach, you should, start Shabbos early. So, to be mekabel Shabbos early, like, you understand how it was in Yeshiva, that they wouldn't be mekabel Shabbos early, like, be mekabel Shabbos 10 minutes early and leave me alone. But no, they're not going to mekabel Shabbos early. I was bothered for an hour and a half, 2 hours with phone calls. The guys want to know if they should mekabel Shabbos 10 minutes early. I would have said when I was younger, I would have said, this is mekabel Shabbos and leave me alone. What's 10 minutes? So mekabel Shabbos is so terrible, mekabel Shabbos 10 minutes early. So, no, yes. So it was the only time I had the back line. There was the Rashiva had a phone number, and then there was the back line. Oh my gosh, if you had the number of the back line, you were chashuv. Okay, it's the only time I ever called the bat phone. Okay, it's the back line. You only call that for emergencies. So I called the regular line, but this was the back line. That no one had this number. Of course, everyone had the number. You know, it was just like this, you know, way to tell people of, you know, we should have that. But I still thought it was Joshua. So I called, and the Rebbetzin picked up, and I said, you know, all the chevra are calling. It's urgent. They want to know the Shemekabel Shabbos early. It's words going around that Rosh Hashanah said Shemekabel Shabbos early. And it's okay. I'll put the Reshiva on. So Reshiva got on the phone, and I told the Reshiva, everyone's calling me. They want to know. They want to know what the story is. Should they be Shemekabel Shabbos early? So Rashida said, they're saying from Rav Shach, Mekabel Shabbos early. He says, you know, I'm already an old man. And I've been around for a lot of the tzaros in Eretz Yisrael. I was around with the Chazon Ish and the Brisker Rav. And that Tekufa, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rabbi Yoshev. And through a lot of different tzaros in Klal Yisrael, and none of the gedolim, he doesn't remember ever Reb Moshe, Reb Yaakov, they never ever recommended as a takana zula shemekabel Shabbos early. There were tanaisim that were imposed, chatzi tanaisim, asifas, tehillim, and it was never ever suggested that they should be mekabel Shabbos early. So it's like unusual. Rav Shach said the mekabel Shabbos early. I would say like this: tell the chevra they should not be mekabel Shabbos early. They should not be mekabel Shabbos early because, and then I asked him why. He says because to be a segula, it's like an aliyah for Klal Yisrael. It's been aliyah for Klal Yisrael. But Erev Shabbos is a very stressful time. The minutes before Shabbos, the last minutes, you know, everyone's like finishing their showers, and you know, if you're married, you're making sure the candles are set or the dining room is set. You're having company. You know, you're doing 100 things, and it's last minute, you know, stress, anxiety. You know, it's not like you know what's going on in your own homes, but you know, you go to someone's house, you come in Friday night from shul. Everything's beautiful, it's decked out. Rashiva, by the way, was not happy with guys going to Kol guys' homes too often. For many reasons. First of all, you know, if let's say your friends get married, it's not so good you have a Bachrim who are going to their Chaverim's homes who are newly married. It's not the best idea. Okay, that's number one. But number two, you have false impression of what a home is. You come in, everything looks beautiful, you know, the couple's there, and you have a little two babies dressed perfectly, bathed, dressed in beautiful Shabbos clothes, and you go into, you know, marriage thinking that everything is going to be so perfect. There is no button that makes that happen, you know. So, but anyway, so that being said, it's very stressful Erev Shabbos, and if one household, one couple has a fight, an argument, because the husband is saying we have to make early Shabbos, and the wife says, I'm not ready, and he starts, you know, yelling at her. If it happens in one home, in the Ganze Klal Yisrael, it's already not worth the whole segula. Do you hear that? I would say there's, you know, a couple of hundred thousand homes, and it worked for 199,000 homes. That's not bad, you know, ratio. And the Rashiva said, if in one home they get into a fight because the stress and anxiety, and he wants to light candles early, he'll light candles, she's not ready, and he's going to get angry at her, it's already not worth the whole segula. I wouldn't have been strong enough to say that. By the way, the Rashiva said that he doesn't think Rav Shach would say such a thing. Rav Shach was also around by the Chazon Ish. And he thinks that somebody is saying that b'shem Chabad, b'shem Rav Shach, and he suspected that since the Chabad and Rav Shach, there was some kind of machlok that's happened. I don't know what it was, but he says probably probably Chabad said to do it, and they quoted Rav Shach after it was already Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael that you couldn't confirm or deny. They couldn't confirm or deny. And he probably said, that's probably what happened. The Maisa, I checked it out. That's what happened. Now, I'm not saying it's not. You see segulas. I've seen the segula. I've seen it spread around. Make Shabbos early from prominent gedolim. But the fact that it was quoted by Rav Shach is why the Rashiva was suspicious. But that's what Rashiva held. Now, others may disagree. I'm just, the point is that, you know, before we do things, like, wow, you think you're supposed to do it. Ah, I mean, Mekayim, you know, Olam Haba. And it's Mamash Ibcha Mestabra. Ibcha Mestabra, the Das Torah. I remember in Yeshiva, any time there was anything doing, there was a Levaya, there was a Rav Steinman, I don't remember ever coming in from Eretz Yisrael when I was around, but if a Gadla was going somewhere, there was never a posting of something happening that it didn't include who's supposed to go. It would say like three carloads should go. Okay, sometimes it would say one carload should go. Sometimes it would say third year guy should go. Sometimes it would say, you know, fourth year guy should go. Only Rabbi Wiener and Rabbi Narman Shear should try and go. And there was a mahalach on each thing. And we made so much fun of that. It was like, you know, if there was any kind of like, you know, all the svarim that were left in the dining room are now on the table in the hallway, will become hefker on Tuesday, somebody would write, are we supposed to go? Like, there was nothing that didn't get, there's satire, they made fun of every single thing. And when I was younger, I didn't chop, you know, that all these little things go through. Like, over time, that now, when something's happening, like, we always discuss that guy, who should go? You know, sometimes, okay, so someone's having, is making an oven minion in someone's house. Okay, you know, he was very involved, helped the yeshiva, we want to help him out a little bit. So who should go? We can take the whole yeshiva there? Not the whole yeshiva there. Four guys, we should send four guys, you know. It happens all the time. There's a cheshbon. This place had four guys, someone else maybe said eight guys, depending on what they do, but there's a mahalach, and over time we have to learn it. So being in yeshiva, this is nothing to do with one word of learning. You could learn not one word. So people, this is one of the things I want to talk about. I titled it Das Torah, but where it's coming from is like, some guys could get very frustrated being in yeshiva. What am I doing in yeshiva? I don't know what's going on in shir. My chavrusa went home for a week. So there's no one to learn with. I can't learn by myself. And what do you expect to do? Just sit there and stare at the walls? I can't stare at the walls. So then a person could be thinking, like, what am I doing here? Is that not totally not true? Learning is I don't want to say it's secondary. It's Natam Torah Kulam. But, you know, most people, you know, unless you're doing the Chazara, Rabbi Kleinman's Chazor said, but you probably forget most of what we learn, and even if you forget it, it makes a difference in you, but how to live your life, a person gets, even without a word of learning, how to live your life happens when you're in yeshiva, and you're engaged, and you don't even realize what you pick up. I didn't realize what I picked up. I did not realize all these things. I was the one writing the Purim spiel. Okay, I don't know if I wrote that particular note I was supposed to go, but I definitely was, could have been the one writing it. And I wrote a couple of Purim spiels, but that is, a person should not think that there's so much that a person captures when they're in yeshiva that has that is even beyond that one word of learning. You have to learn one word. Of course, you learn more, you get more. But there's a great tu'elis if a person stays in yeshiva, even if he's not able to learn all the time, or I would say even none of the time. There were guys, I remember yeshiva who were learning none of the time, and I don't know why. They had issues, they couldn't learn, but they were in yeshiva, and as long as they were citizens, they were, so to speak, welcome to stay. You know, you show up to davening, and you show up to part of the state, and no one bothered you, you know. Okay, a couple of other things. What happens without Das Torah? So this Maisa I don't know if it's a famous Maisa, but it's a true Maisa, the Beis Halevi. So, you know, there's a Briska dynasty. You know, Soloveitchik, you know, Ben Soloveitchik, Ben Soloveitchik, Ben Soloveitchik. So it's a Chasheva family. The Beis Halevi got married, and the minhag back then was when you got married, you went and you learned in the town of where the girl was. That you learned in the shul or whatever. So it wasn't a huge kol like we have 10 people. You know, one person learning in a city. It wasn't organized. He was learning. And the problem was that the kala's brother, till the Beis Halevi married, he was like the most chasheva, you know, yeshiva guy in the house. When the Beis Halevi married his sister, he was like a distant second, like distant. Beis Halevi was prominent, you know, Adam Gadol, even when he first got married. So the brother was a shtickle, you know, not so happy with the new brother-in-law, because it's like showing him up. Now, I don't think the Beis Halevi intended to show him up, but that's what it was. And the brother was trying to like malign him. So he told his father that, you know, this guy doesn't know how to learn. I know you can see him sitting in front of a gemara all day, but he really doesn't know how to learn. So the father said, what are you saying? Of course, he knows how to learn. We checked him out, he knows how to learn. But, you know, he kept badgering the father, that he doesn't know how to learn. So the father at one point said, you know, I'm going to give him a shtukl feher. He's learning all this time. Give him a feher. So he said, you know, Yosef Dov, I think that was his name, you know, I want to feher you. Okay, what do you want to feher me on? So he asked him the following question. Which Yotzeris do we say on the second day Sukkos? Okay. Now, I grew up in Borough Park, and the shul I was in said every Yotzeris. I don't even know if you guys here know what Yotzeris are. Okay, in the machzer, you know those things that we don't say? In the machzer? That's Yotzeris. You know, it's for Shachris, and then it's also for Musaf. And if it's like Hoshana Rabbah, don't ask. They're there forever. And Shmini Atzeres, very heilig, is more Yotzeris. And that was in the Ashkenazim shuls. The Ashkenazic shuls said the Yotzeris. You know, Chassidim, oh my gosh, I grew up with Yotzeris, so I heard this, said that, so he wanted to know, everyone said Yotzeris. So, but the Briska Rav was from the Rabbanisha family. The Rabbanisha family did not say Yotzeris. Right? They didn't say Yotzeris like we don't say Karbanos. Okay, if you go to a Baal Batim, you tell me Yeshiva don't say Karbanos, don't tell them that. they can't handle it. Okay, just to say, yeah, sometimes I don't have a chance to say it, you know, but they can't handle it. They don't say karbanos. They can't handle no chazor sashatz either by mincha. Just don't talk about it. Okay, trust me, a different vibe. I'll tell you why. But So, and he said, I don't know. I don't know. What's your source? We say, wow, my son was correct. He doesn't know how to learn. So he pushed his daughter, and he pushed through that she should divorce him. And he gave her a get, and the entire Soloveitchik lineage came from the second husband. For the second wife, I mean. Second wife. So realize what she gave up. You know, presumably she would have been the mother of the Soloveitchik dynasty, presumably. Unless you want to say the lineage came from the wife, but you know that. But I think the way say it was pretty chashuv, you know, even without the wife, and that's why, because he thought that you have to yotzrus. So sometimes, where do we put our emphasis? Now, obviously, that's a crazy story. We wouldn't know what yotzrus is in the first place. but we make similar type mistakes on other types of things. There was a guy, I don't want to say his last name, but there was a fellow in shul, I heard this from a Rav. He told me there was a guy in his shul, I don't want to say his last name, the first name was Lester, and when he became 75 years old, he decided that he wanted to be benevolent and charitable to organizations. And he went to Israel, and he was in a, you know, an Orthodox Yid, and he went, and I think he donated back in the early 1970s, like $1 million to build pool halls in Israel, billiards. So I was speaking in a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael on one of my trips with the 12th graders, and one yeshiva invited me to speak. And I was speaking, I don't remember what the title of the vod was, but I said over this story, and as soon as I finished the story, they all got up and started cheering for this guy who made billiards. Oh, Baruch Hashem, this guy made billiards. But you realize he took what he could have done with that money. He could have built Torah, he built the yeshiva, and he made billiards in Eretz Yisrael. This person did not consult with Das Torah. Because when we consult with Das Torah, you find out what should I use with my money. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't get any schusim. He had proper some proper kavanas, but he had to check with Das Torah. I remember when our yeshiva was we had to figure out, we were on 71st Street. We had no more room in the building. The high school was getting bigger, the base management was getting bigger, and we needed to purchase a bigger building. I mean, there was no other buildings before we purchased this property. And I was not Rosh Yeshiva, but I remember Dr. Jacob and I think it was Mr. Kirschenbaum. I think the two of them are the ones who devised a plan that we're going to. We had a lot of property at Harris Emes that wasn't being used, so they were going to develop one section of the campus there for it to house the high school and base medrash. And we move it there. It's not the best neighborhood for a dormitory, like, I don't know, 163rd Street. And we would have done it. They drew plans, and they, you know, they spent a lot of time in it. And okay, it wasn't Rosh Yeshiva, so someone could check with some of these people because they're around. You could ask them. But I'm pretty sure the Rosh Yeshiva nixed it. And we went pretty far, and then checked with the Rosh Yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva nixed it. And why? Why did he nix it? Because he doesn't think he can't have terubas, he can't have girls and boys on the same campus. Say, so girls and boys on the same campus? Girls? They have a little girls there. He said, no, because, you know, it goes to fifth grade. If we go to kindergarten, once you have fifth graders, you know, up to fifth grade, you can't have older boys there. It's pretty wild. I said, yes, the same question. High school guys? He said, no, big Spanish guys. He said, if you're asking, I wasn't going to say it, but you're asking. He said, I'm just saying, you should just know how chomer the Rosh Yeshiva felt. You don't have girls on the same campus as boys. You know, he didn't care. You know, that was Rosh Yeshiva. We weren't thought of it. I want to tell you something. This campus the Reshiva told us we can't buy because there's a mikveh across the street, and he didn't feel it was proper tznius to have a building near across street from mikveh. So the property was the only property they were able to find, and the Reshiva said, no, can't. Till Rabbi Trade came up with this chap that what about if we there's a block, you know, you can't see the mikveh. Well, if you have a block, that's different. It's a block. Well, where's the block? So there used to be a turning lane into the yeshiva. You want to know why we all have to drive to the 13th Avenue and then make a U-turn and come around? Reshiva said, if you close up the lane, that turn makes a left turn into yeshiva. If you close up that lane and you put up, bushes on the median, then that's different. And if you look, the only bushes on the median, the entire Miami Gardens Drive, except they just put palm trees by on the other side of 10th Avenue going towards the highway. That's the first time. They just did that 6 months ago. But with the only bushes in the entire Miami Gardens Drive is right over here because Rabbi Leibowitz. Now, we had to get the city to agree to that because they, you know, they paid for the wall, as Trump would say. We got them to pay for the wall, and the wall just got higher. You know, they paid for the wall. And that's why there's no turning lane. Every single day when I drive past the yeshiva to go ahead to make it, every time I pass by, I think of the yeshiva. I said, Rebbe, because of you, I have to go to this stupid U-turn. I'm joking. Every single day, I say that every time. Sometimes I do it five times a day. Rebbe Chait's amazing.
Hey, what does blocking the U-turn do?
Huh?
What does blocking that do?
You know, it's not in your face. We know there's mikvahs in town, so there's a mikvah in town, but it's not right in front of the yeshiva.
We could have knocked down the mikvah and make it
grow. We could have knocked down the mikvah. And if you want to know, keep track of the time. Huh? Yeah, you shouldn't drug by the mitzvah. I'll tell you, I'll never forget one time. It's not just the Kalim mikvah, guys. You know, it's not just Kalim mikvah. But okay, you could go to the Kalim mikvah during the day. It's not at night. But one time I was driving home on Motzoi after Shmuz, Motzoi Shabbos, and as I'm driving by, I see a couple of high school kids. You know, I used to be principal, so my eye caught everything. So I see a couple of guys standing in front of the mikvah. So I make a U-turn. I go to the mikvah. I said, guys, you know, is everything okay? He says, yeah, we're getting picked up to go to the J over here. I said, oh, you should wait over here. You know, it's a mikveh. So what? I said, yeah, just don't wait over here. He says, what's the problem? We're not going inside. I said, you can't stay here. The younger guys don't have no clue, nor do you have to tell them. You can't stay by the mikveh. And by the way, if there's ever something going on, like let's say everyone's walking out of the yeshiva, We still get phone calls. Rabbi Lubin usually gets the first phone call of someone in the neighborhood telling us that, you know, it's not right. The guys are walking over here. We never share it with the guys. We just have to be careful, and we're mindful of timing and stuff like that. And they're here first, so we're the ones who came in. So we're the ones. It's on us. This is the Reshiva's Das Torah that we couldn't move in. I wouldn't have known what to do. I have no idea. I would never have thought that. Hey, a little uncomfortable, but it's a big country. Like, what do you know? And they're the muksah. You know, it's like, who's the mazik, the balakarim, or the, you know, the tua.
Was it to protect the people going to the mikvah, or was it to protect the people in, like, yeshiva? Like, below the
ball. It's this. Oh, it's this.
We have eighth grade boys and fifth grade girls on the same campus.
You know, they're just during the day, and when they built the middle school, the question's very good, and it was a...
Yeah, worse than what we have.
If you look and see the staircase to the middle school, the staircase was built in a way where the entrance and exit is no shaychus. We heard recently, because of the cramped, one of the reasons why we had to build, truth comes out on recording, but one of the reasons why we have to spend so much money to build, we're moving the middle school to the other side of the street. And that side of the street will just be for preschool and girls and the boys on the other side. Because it's become, because it's so cramped and we're not able to separate it like we were even 4 or 5 years ago, it isn't so posh now. So we have to address that. You know, people make mistakes. You know, the whole idea is to avoid the mistakes. And Lamaisa, like the Red Sox sold Babe Ruth. You know, people make mistakes, so like we don't want to be guilty of that. I heard this Maisa from someone. He said once Rabbi Sharmig was nifter. So one guy says, Rabbi Sharmig once stayed in my house. We got here in Miami Beach. I won't say his name, but you'll see why in a second. So Rabbi Sharmig, he once stayed in my house when he came here to visit. He used to raise money. Rabbi Sharmig came in from Eretz Yisrael, and he would go to different cities, and he was here. He was, one of the Gedolei Adar. So can you tell me a story? He had just been nifter that day, and there was a Shalom Zachar, and this man was there. And so can you tell me a story? Because everybody was talking about Rabbi Sharmig. So he told me, yeah, I'll tell you a story. So he was staying in my house. We were having a suda. A lot of people were eating around the table. And he didn't for 1 second take his eye out of a sefer. He had a sefer in the whole time. So he didn't. He just learned the whole meal. He didn't talk. No, I didn't say he didn't talk. But he talked. He was learning and talking at the same time. Sometimes he talked, but his eyes did not leave the sefer during the whole suda. Okay. Very nice. Said, and he didn't say anything. Except at one point during the Suda, he asked me, how did you come to Miami? So I told him that, I had come to visit here, and I liked it. The only time he took his eyes out of the sefer the whole meal was when I said that. He put his sefer down, he looked at me in the eye and said, and based on that, you moved here? So I said, what do you think he meant by that? He said, I think he meant that I shouldn't have moved here. And the truth is, he probably shouldn't have moved there. You know, you don't move to places because you liked it. You know, the Miami, when he moved here, was not today's Miami. So, you know, if someone's Marbitz Torah is special, Haftacha, Sforno, Chukas, special Sforno from Rashiva, spoke about the Haftacha. But you don't have Haftacha, you're just going to Stam, you like the palm trees, and you go there, okay, a doctor tells you to go, you need it for your health. Okay, there are reasons, but Stam, because you liked it, is not a reason to go. That's not so pashut. So he felt he should have asked Das Torah. And there are many, many things, we could learn by asking shailas, and the shailas are not always, the halachic ones, just to talk it over. I want to say over, too, I bought this Chedush Alev. I found the shmuz I was thinking of. We wish by Chanukah, it says, Lo Yosef Shevet Mi Yehuda, and we learned the Gemara by Hordus. So I don't know if you had a chance to connect it. But it says that that Hordus, the Baskel, came out and said, whoever wants to rebel against their masters today will be successful. So he went out. Hordus was an Eved of them, and of Beis Chashmonai, and he wiped out, he killed out all his masters. They all got killed. And then this Yanuka, this girl, ran up to the roof, and she said, whoever says they came from Beis Chashmonai, Avdahu, because I'm the only one left and I'm dead. And she jumped off the roof. Okay, she jumped off the roof. So what happened? And then he went ahead and he started killing out all the Rabbanon. There was, we killed out all the Bnei Hord, all the Chashmonaim. So the Ramban discusses, what did the Chashmonaim do to deserve such a punishment? They all got killed out. says what happened was, it says, the Ramban says, the Bnei Chashmonaim were Chasidei Elyon. They were the Tzaddiki Hadar. And they dedicated themselves to Marbitzei Torah. And they went out and they were waging war against the Yevanim, and that they to wipe out the all the Gashmias, but they were Ovru al Divrei Yaakov. They didn't listen to the words of their grandfather, great 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 grandfather Yaakov. What did Yaakov say? Lo Yaser Shevet Miyehuda. And after the Melchama with the Yevanim initially, they were expected to give up the Malucha. Give up the Malucha? You know it's like giving up the Malucha? If anyone watched the Siyam HaShas, so at the Siyam HaShas, Rabbi David Feinstein was supposed to make the Siyam, and Rabbi David Feinstein deferred to Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky. And Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky, is not wasting everyone's time, 200,000 people listening. He said he wants to be Makir Tov to Rabbi David Feinstein for giving him the zchus to make the Siyam. He says, it's a big kavod to stand here in front of everyone and make the Siyam. And Rabbi David Feinstein could have made it, and he passed it over to me. And kavod is not an easy thing to give up. This is what Shulchanesky talking about Rabbi David Feinstein. I said, oh my gosh. I mean, if I was Rabbi David Feinstein, I think that's even more chashuv that to give it up to Rabbi Shmuel. You take it. But Rabbi Shmuel held that it was hard to do, and Rabbi David Feinstein, it was a act of tzitzis that he gave up the kavod. So the Chashmonoim were expected. At a certain point, I'm saying, don't make it sound so easy. Like, they couldn't do it. They couldn't give up the kavod. But what would have helped if they would have accentuated the need to follow the Das Torah. If they just forget about it, they couldn't give up the kavod. That may have been too hard. But if they just said, but I have to follow the Das Torah, I have to follow what the Mesorah is. That would have kept them, on the right path, and they would have been able. They would have been able to do it. That's the Rav Shiva brings that out from the Ramban. So, it's really really fascinating. In yeshiva, in Queens, I have to wrap up. In yeshiva in Queens. So, since the Rav Shiva was nifter, Rabbi David Harris, and Rabbi Grumblat. They say this to everyone, that they view their jobs is to just keep the Masara. They're proud to keep the Masara. But I remember when, Rabbi Harris was in yeshiva before he was Rosh Yeshiva. So he was in Rochester. I didn't know him when he was in Rochester. I didn't go to Rochester. And then he came to Queens. And he was just a member of the Hanhala. I think the expectation was, the Rosh Yeshiva already knew, because I already knew, that he was one day going to take over. Everyone was talking about it. So how did we know? I don't know how we knew, but we knew. And if there's anyone that fought against the Rosh Yeshiva on every single thing, it was Rabbi Harris. He was the one who fought. The Pasuk says, I'll just say it quick, I won't say the Shmuz, but it says, Nekicha Payim Uvar Levav, that someone with clean hands and pure heart. So the Ramban says the Medrash says that's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because when Hashem told him he should be the one to take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, he fought against the Baruch Shalom. In fact, the Rosh Yeshiva, he fought against the Baruch Shalom. He didn't want to take the Klai Yisrael out. How can you not listen to the Baruch Shalom? What's that? You have to follow Masorah. You have to, certainly, Baruch Shalom says, yeah, he wanted to get 100% the pshat. Why am I doing this? He wanted Yori Letok Das Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he fought and fought and fought to get the pshat. And I know sometimes, we were talking about this last night, so I wanted to bring this up. You shouldn't be under the wrong impression. When you have a Talmud who's fighting, we shouldn't view a Talmud who's fighting the Rebbe don't give up so fast. You want to get the pshat, and that's very important also. Look, Moshe Rabbeinu did not just say, okay, you want me to go? Fine, I'm going. Where's the next train? Where's the next plane? We have to fight. I don't understand it. You know, tell me more, to fully understand that that's how you get the Masara. And Rabbi Harris fought. I remember one time when the Eisha Torah codes came out. They had just come out. You know, those codes that has, you know, Purim Fest and all those codes that, I never remember them. They like blow your mind away. And I can never remember not one. And I wish I could know. If I meet someone who's not from, I'll tell them the code and they're going to be from. And so that was a big thing in the 80s, I remember. And the guy asked the Rashiv in Blatchir. You were able to ask the Rashiv anything in Blatchir. You got the best hashkafa. And they asked Rashiva, can you do the codes? Rashiva said, yeah, you can learn the codes. So he said, so guy asked, how can you do the codes? They'll come up with crazy, who knows what kind of things to learn from it. So Rashiva says, no, I'm not going to come up with anything crazy. You go with the codes. Barry Harris was in the room. And at the time when he came back, then the manal of the high school left. So in addition to coming back from Rochester, which was understood, he was coming back to be the Rashiva's, heir apparent. He also then took over the high school in Queens. So he was the principal of the high school on the hanhola on the yeshiva. And did he explode? I never heard anyone yell at the Rashiva like Rabbi Harris did at that moment. Okay, and it happened many times. But he said, Rebbe, how could you, from the back of the room, he didn't wait to be called on. He yelled from the back of the room, Rebbe, how could you say such a thing? They're going to come up with face. They're recording, get myself in trouble. They're going to come up with it, to say hello on Yom HaTzmut, and they'll come up with all these things. How can we rely and say that it's okay? Rashiv went like this. He knew Rabbi Harris is lying. He was scared of Rabbi Harris. And he went like this, put his head down. He built up the strength, and he looked up. He found Rabbi Harris's eyes. And he says, it will never happen. They will never be able to come up with anything in the Torah that's keneged Das Torah. He says, it says in Pirkei Avos, hafochba, v'hafochba, v'kulaba. You could turn the Torah inside out in every direction, twist it around. Okay, you will never be able to come out with anything reliably with a real, stark progression that's against Das Torah. Can you imagine saying such a thing? Rashiv is not an expert in algorithms, and I have no idea what an algorithm is. he's not an expert in algorithms and how to figure out progressions, and the Rashiva was so sure that they'll never do it, and he paskened it's okay to do. So we have to rely on our Rebbeim, our Gedolim for Das Torah. And it drives us for everything. And the more we fight in the learning, and the more we try and understand this year, the more we'll get Das Torah. Okay, you can get some Das Torah without this year, but in the learning, you can get so much in the shiurim, the shmuzim, for a lifetime. Whatever we could do that develops that Das Torah, could live so much Torah digger life. What time of day?
Are you saying Das Torah is not? Are you earlier said that I can go to yeshiva and not learn anything and gain Das Torah?
A person could, even if he didn't learn, could still gain Das Torah, yeah. From being in yeshiva.
Das Torah from coming from a Torah?
Yeah, whatever. No, but he's around for the shmuzim, for the...
He's coming from...
He gets close with the Rebbe. Okay, he didn't understand the share.
It's coming from Torah.
Coming from...
Not from the... No, learning how to live from guys in yeshiva.
Oh, a few minutes ago. Hold on.